Welcome to Eternal Christendom, consecrated to Our Lady for the glory of our Lord. I'm Joshua Charles. Thank you for joining us once again for our Sunday announcement of this week's Great Rosary Campaign. We know we're in dark times, confusing times, and in times like that, we need to fight evil with the best weapons at our disposal. Among the best weapons at our disposal is the Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I wear mine wherever I go. I have been for years. By praying it faithfully, I've seen so many conversions to the Catholic faith. And not just conversions to the faith, but moral renovation, including myself. Sins that I thought would be hampering me for the rest of my life, and there are still temptations, but many of those sins have gone away. And why? Because nobody desires holiness among God's children more than the Mother of God, Our Lady. So the Great Rosary Campaign is a year-long mission for the conversion of cultural leaders. Every week, as you've seen, we are announcing a weekly call to pray for specific fallen away Catholics and non-Catholics. And you can sign up to receive updates in your inbox at greatrosarycampaign.com. So for this week's Great Rosary Campaign, I'd like for us to pray for Mike Gendron, who is a former Catholic and is now a Protestant apologist and anti-Catholic apologist, really. And for the suggested penance, I would like for us to do a 24-hour water fast, as we've done many other weeks. Again, adjust it for your state in life. But if you can, a 24-hour water fast, and if you can't, as close to that as you can. The reason why I'd like for us to do a more sacrificial, painful penance this week is because Mike is a baptized Catholic, and he has fallen away from the Catholic faith, and he has presented many lectures, many interviews, many videos, where, frankly, he has absolutely, utterly, and completely misrepresented the Catholic faith. And he's also uttered many downright historical falsehoods, falsehoods that you don't even need to be Catholic to realize they're false. It's just simply a fact of history or not a fact of history. And unfortunately, Mike has portrayed many things that are not factual as if they were facts. And so I don't know whether Mike has good intentions or not, honestly, because he has been corrected on these things numerous times with great charity by Catholics. There was even one time when he said he would refuse to read the church fathers because they weren't the Bible. And yet in other presentations, he will make he will basically say what the church fathers invented and these false doctrines he'll claim the church invented, and he'll assign years to it, but he won't read the very fathers that supposedly invented this stuff. So it's a very confusing morass of things. So Mike, if you're seeing this, I would welcome a discussion with you. Perhaps a private discussion would be better first. What I'm referring to, I'm not in any way trying to question your motives, but you have proffered many falsehoods and you have been gently and charitably corrected on them many times. And so if you would like a private discussion, I would be very open to that. I have found, as a former Protestant who came to the Catholic faith at 31 years old, I have found an incredible, immense, in some ways infinite treasury of Christ and his grace in his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I understand that there are priests and people in the church who don't always represent it the best, and that may have been the case with you, for which I'm genuinely sorry if that was the case with you. I've had to put up with some of them myself. In fact, sometimes I have to put up with the guy who is looking right back at me in the mirror. So I'm sometimes part of the problem too. And maybe that was also the case with you. I don't know. I don't judge you. But there are some major falsehoods that you have proffered that need to be corrected. If you want to criticize the Catholic Church, criticize the Catholic faith, do so with facts. Do so with actual points. Do so without misrepresenting the faith of your childhood, the faith of your parents, the faith of your ancestors. I would genuinely welcome a discussion. Again, perhaps private would be better first. And I would be very happy to connect you with numerous people like myself who came from Protestantism and realized as a Protestant reading people like the Church Fathers that essentially we'd been sold a bill of goods. And the vast majority of what we knew about the Catholic Church simply wasn't so, to paraphrase Mark Twain. So with that, that's our rosary target this week is Mike Gendron. Do a 24-hour water fast or as close to that as you can. And we hope that that will win some extraordinary graces for this fallen son of the church so that he hopefully comes back to the church before his death. So over the last 1,000 years, countless popes and saints have recommended the Holy Rosary for three basic reasons. One, to keep the faith, so if you pray the rosary, very unlikely, if not certain, to not fall into heresy, for repentance and moral renovation, and for conversions to the Catholic faith. That's the whole reason we're doing this Great Rosary Campaign. And I want to remind you that there are six biblical themes for this Great Rosary Campaign, and I want to list them out for you. The first one is, it's about praying for our brethren. So we've been praying for fallen away Catholics, and so that's what we're going to keep doing. We pray for our brethren. This is what Scripture clearly commands. The second one is we pray for our enemies. Obviously, Jesus famously told us to love our enemies and to pray for them, and the apostles commanded the same thing. So we're praying for our enemies, which include those who are not Catholic, who frankly attack the Catholic Church and try to besmirch the Catholic faith. And so that's why we pray for them as well. The third one is we pray for our leaders and those in authority. So that's political leaders, ecclesial leaders, leaders of universities and companies and influential organizations. And so we need to keep doing that because there's a lot of influence to be had in those areas and they have an immense impact on our culture. The fourth principle is that we go into battle with the Ark. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites circled around Jericho for 7 days, and they did so with the Ark of the Covenant. And on the seventh day, they blew the ram's horn, and the walls came crumbling down. So when we start these Great Rosary campaigns on Sunday, and we end on Saturday, that's a seven-day period of time. We're praying the rosary every day, and the rosary belongs to the new Ark of the Covenant, Our Lady. As the old Ark held the manna, the staff of Moses, and the tablets of the law, the new Ark holds the law, the living law, Jesus Christ, the chief priest, and the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven, who we receive every day on the altars of the Catholic Church through the Holy Eucharist. So when we're doing this Great Rosary campaign, we are going into battle with the new Ark of the Covenant. So remember that. The fifth biblical principle is that we need to remember that evangelism and apologetics is not just arguments. It actually consists, I would argue, of four basic ingredients. The first one is love, and love is loving creatures for the sake of the love of God. And so before you get into any arguments, you got to make sure your heart's in the right place, a posture of love toward those we are trying to convince of the faith. The second one is arguments, and that requires, you know, reading up, making sure you're presenting your opponent's best case, that you're making good arguments, that you're presenting the faith accurately. But the third one is prayer, and the fourth one is penance. These are the two wings upon which our requests are brought to God in the most powerful way possible. Many church fathers talk about it. Many saints talk about it. Prayer and penance, particularly fasting, is incredibly important. And we can always do those things for the people we wish to see come to or come back to the Catholic faith, whether they want us to or not. It's a great act of love we can do for them. So love, arguments, prayer, and penance. If we're not doing all four of those things for the people we wish to see come to or come back to the Catholic faith, we're selling our faith short and we're not using all the wonderful spiritual weapons that our Lord has given us in his church. And sixth and finally, the principle is returning good for evil. I know many of you, if you talk about Our Lady, if you talk about the Rosary, if you talk about anything Catholic, you're going to get all sorts of slanders about engaging in idolatry, that we believe Mary is a goddess and whatnot. All of that is false. We know it's false. And so my recommendation, if you're engaging in this Great Rosary campaign and just throughout your life, if you hear things like that from Protestants or even other non-Catholics, return good for evil. Express a kind word. Pray for them. Don't return, you know, the venom for the venom, okay? Return good for evil. That's a solidly established biblical principle. And so when we're doing this Great Rosary campaign, please keep that in mind. Especially when mentioning the Rosary and Our Lady, because Our Lady would certainly not return venom for venom. She would return great love for any great venom sent her way, as we saw her do in Scripture, and we've known she's done throughout church history. With that, we'll end with our normal anthem verse, Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26. Who have I in heaven but you? And on earth I desire nothing besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.